MRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The state's Water Control Board approves the Mountain Valley Pipeline through southwestern Virginia, and they'll decide on the Atlantic Coast Pipeline early next week. How Virginia taxpayers are going to take a hit if the tax bill in Congress becomes law, and we tour a tiny monument to Harriet Tubman in Harrisonburg. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, December 8th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu.
After two full days of public hearings, Virginia's State Water Control Board has given its stamp of approval on the Mountain Valley Pipeline. The pipeline is slated to carry natural gas running 300 miles through southwest Virginia. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has details.
The board voted there is a reasonable assurance that the Mountain Valley Pipeline won't pollute rivers and streams. Carolyn Riley, who lives on a family farm in the pipeline's path, was devastated.
Just knowing this reality would be happening for our family through two of our creeks and our children's future. It just determined the fate for our family and our farm and our very lives. We had no choice in it. Sorry.
Virginia's Department of Environmental Quality opted to let the Army Corps of Engineers review specific river crossings rather than do their own analysis. DEQ also hasn't approved plans to mitigate soil erosion yet. A couple board members did express concern about that process.
So it just felt like there was a glimmer of possibility that they would ask for more information, that they would delay, that they wanted more of a stringent review.
Instead, they made last-minute tweaks to the water certificate before voting 5-2 to approve it. A DEQ spokesman wouldn't take questions but said in a written statement that pipeline developers had been subjected to a rigorous regulatory process and that DEQ would continue to hold them to the highest standards. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
As leaders in Congress move toward finalizing a huge tax cut proposal, taxpayers in Virginia are preparing to take a bigger hit than most states. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the story.
Most of the talk about eliminating or reducing the deduction for state and local taxes has been aimed at states like California or New York. But Virginia ranks fifth in terms of the percentage of tax filers who take advantage of this deduction. Chris Wadika at the Commonwealth Institute says eliminating or reducing the state and local tax deduction would make it harder for states to maintain their own revenues.
It would put a lot of pressure on state and local governments over time to reduce their own level of taxes and thereby reduce support for services like education or healthcare.
Frank Shafroth at George Mason University says this idea was considered and abandoned back during the Reagan administration.
I think many members of Congress felt it was the equivalent of taxing a taxpayer twice. You were taxing them at the federal level on money they didn't have because they'd already paid it in terms of state and local taxes.
The change would hit Northern Virginia particularly hard, especially Loudoun County and Fairfax County, where more than half of the tax filers take advantage of the deduction. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally, on an out-of-the-way street corner in Harrisonburg, a tiny building commemorates a legend of American history and represents the struggle to heal the nation's racial divide. WMRA's Mike Dolzer reports.
When you walk into the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center on Lucy Drive, you realize just how much history can be crammed into a tiny space, even if it's the size of a one-car garage.
This building may be little, but it's got a lot of power packed in it.
The center is filled with images of Tubman, posters depicting slavery, and it even includes a video about Southern plantation life. Owner and founder Stan Macklin provides tours by appointment for people who want to learn more about the abolitionist, humanitarian, and U.S. Army spy. Macklin opened the center in March 2010 as a means of keeping Tubman's legacy alive. He works with more than 30 other members, many of whom are his family members, to plan future projects for the center. He describes the center as a ministry, business venture, and cultural learning center with the aim of educating others about the ugly scars of America's origins.
America's original sin is that America was founded as a white society upon the near genocide of one race and enslavement and kidnap of another.
Macklin was also one of the proponents of the renaming of Cantrell Avenue to Martin Luther King Jr. Way, which was approved by the Harrisonburg City Council in 2013. Macklin also teaches a class in conjunction with the Commonwealth's attorney at the Harrisonburg-Rockingham County Jail. The class focuses on empowerment and reentry after incarceration.
We try to help people where we can to realize that they can make a difference in their life and in society.
Macklin sees some troubling parallels between modern-day jails and the system of slavery.
Slavery confined people who were basically brought here for economic purposes, and incarceration is the same situation. It's become a business, the business of warehousing the mentally ill and the addicted.
Macklin has also been disturbed by the political climate lately, and seeing old wounds of racism get torn open again, most notably in Charlottesville in August. Macklin attributes the violence to people getting heritage and history mixed up with hatred, and has noticed some of that hatred make its way to his center, as some people have vandalized the property.
Broken glass, and came in the parking lot, done things that is an ongoing process to the extent where I'm forced to get security cameras.
Aside from the vandalism and theft, the center has also been beleaguered by construction problems. The center was in the back of a brick office complex on North High Street until late last year when Macklin got some news.
The owner came and said that we have a month to vacate because he sold the building, which forced me to have to look for a new location and facility. I immediately went into prayer. I did not know where to go.
Macklin eventually found the current Lucy Drive location, but has still encountered problems with construction, with the land being developed for potential commercial property.
I feel like my life is under construction. Literally, we were aware that they were going to do some road construction and just take some of the yardage, but I didn't know it was going to be to this degree.
Despite the noise and disruption, Macklin is still keeping the center thriving and expanding. He plans to add outdoor exhibits, including a slave auction block, and is seeking new members to join him and the others as they fight to remember the legacy of Harriet Tubman.
I'm a firm believer that good will always overcome evil and love will always overcome hate. That's what Harriet Tubman done, and that's what I'm committed and dedicated to do as long as I have breath in my body. And so I want to spend my legacy challenging and raising up and empowering others to do likewise.
For WMRA News, I'm Mike Dolzer.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.